Good morning.
Good morning.
Before we start, I would again like to thank Ron for giving all the opportunity for us to come up here, speak our mind, bring the word of God forth. Not only that, but for leading a great singing, he asked me what my topic was going to be and has done an excellent job picking songs that relate to that topic. If y'all would please turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 21, and I'll start in verses 1 through 4. While y'all turn there, I'll go ahead and spoil it. The lesson today, I've titled Enough is Enough. And it's not pertaining, I'm not going to be harping on y'all or calling y'all out. It's enough is enough in regards to our own efforts. And we'll go ahead and read from Luke 21, 1 through 4. Jesus looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the offering box. And he saw a poor widow put in two small copper coins. And he said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them, for they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on." We often look at this verse in regards to our contributions or just our own efforts in general. I'd also like you to turn to Mark chapter 12, Mark 12, 41. And I'll be reading through 44. While y'all turn there, I think it's important also to bring up, anytime there's a story that has multiple accounts in the multiple books of the gospel, I think you should look at both of those or all of those accounts to see what context the others might provide or what different point of views the other might provide. So from Mark chapter 12, in verse 41, "And he sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums, and a poor widow came in and put two small copper coins, which make a penny. And he called his disciples to him and said to them, 'Truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all of those who are contributing to the offering box, for they all contributed out of their abundance. But she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on.'" And Mark's descriptive words are my preferred version of the parable here, specifically that it adds Jesus' acknowledgement that the widow had given everything she had. My question for us all today is this: are we willing to give everything we have and do it out of love? Monetarily, physically, socially, spiritually, and to do so with a happy and understanding heart. Today, I have three passages in the Bible that exemplify this I'd like to share and reflect on. They start with Abraham, the early apostles, and Stephen, and all show how they gave up comfort or life itself to follow God. We'll start in Genesis chapter 22. I think we're all very familiar with this story of Abraham. In Genesis chapter 22, we'll start in verse 1. "After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, 'Abraham,' and he said, 'Here I am.' He said, 'Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you.' So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac. And he cut wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him." And we'll go ahead and stop there. Abraham arose and went to sacrifice the son that he had been waiting his whole life for, whom God had promised him. And although he ultimately did not have to do this sacrifice, his commitment and love for God shows how readily Abraham was to do anything God asked. This was also the same man who left the land he had always lived on to do as God instructed and seek a new place for him and his many sons that he would go on to have. Our next passage we'll be looking at will be the early apostles. We'll start in Matthew chapter 4. Go Matthew chapter 4, verses 18. And we'll read down through 22. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called to them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Now, like I said earlier, I think it's important we go and we look at maybe other accounts that this happened in the Bible. So we'll turn to Luke chapter 5 now and see maybe if Luke has any further context or different points of view that can help us realize why they left so abruptly. Luke chapter 5, starting in verse 1. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep, and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night, and we took nothing. But at your word, I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boats to come up and help them. And they came and filled both the boats, so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Now I think this telling definitely provides a little bit more, not only that Jesus does this miraculous act and has them catch so many fish, but regardless of it, if the fishing was any good that day, to immediately abandon your workplace and the tools you use to make your living, along with leaving family behind, to follow Christ is a very seemingly abrupt choice. So I decided to research why these early apostles were so eager to leave the boats and go with Christ. With more context, we learn that during this period, fishing was exhausting work that presented almost no opportunity for economic success. Rome claimed full and exclusive rights to all waters and any resources collected from them. This meant that Galilean fishermen, like Jesus' first disciples, would have had to pay for the rights to fish. These taxes were often paid in kind as a portion of the day's catch, but would be collected whether the fishing had been successful or not. This heavy taxation, along with the capital cost of the equipment such as the boats and nets, rendered Galilean fishermen quite vulnerable and barely able to subsist. With this context in mind, their willingness to give their lives fully to Christ is even more profound. I believe it also highlights that some of Jesus' earliest followers were those desperately seeking new rule. They realized they were in a position where change needed to be made and had the wisdom to let Jesus be their guide to make those changes. And finally, we'll look at Acts chapter 7, the account of Stephen. We'll go to Acts chapter 7 and start in verse 54. and read through the end of the chapter. Now when they had heard these things, they were enraged, and they ground their teeth at him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they cried out with a loud voice, and stopped their ears, and rushed together at him. Then they cast him out of the city, and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold these sins against them. And when he said this, he fell asleep. Stephen, as we know, we talk about this particular story not only from his courage, but just the meaning of what it, for early Christians to go and risk their own lives was a task. And we also talk about the later conversion of Saul while he was here at this event. Stephen had not only the courage to deliver the truth to the people, even though it cost his life, his final words were still, do not hold the sin against them. Out of righteousness, godly love, Stephen truly gave his everything. This may seem like a potentially daunting task, accepting that even though now we may not be persecuted and live very comfortable lives, we may need to make hard choices to prioritize our relationship with God. Lord willing, not many of us will ever be in the same situation as Abraham or Stephen. For many, those hard choices may look like avoiding water cooler gossip, raunchy media, being more charitable, and prioritizing holiness with love over everything and the constant distractions we face. Well, this doesn't seem as daunting, but certainly still difficult. Where do we start this journey of giving everything off at? Let's turn to Mark chapter 12. And we'll read from verse 30 in Mark chapter 12. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. I'd also like to read 1 Corinthians 13:3. You don't have to turn there. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. This is one of my favorite verses. I believe Stephen picked from it last week as well. Not only because it shows our priorities need to be right when we follow God, but our hearts need to be right. First and foremost, we must lead everything we do with love. This will allow us to shift our interests from a self-centered mindset to a servant-centered mindset. Once we lead with love and embrace true servitude, we're able to do the dirty work of what it means to give your all and serve others with humility. This can include things like private, frequent prayer, ensuring the congregations and community needs are met, using our gifts, whether it be teaching or organizing, singing, or physical labor, we all have a role to play in Christ's community. And now we are acting as servants of God, leading with love, giving everything we've got. What are the next steps to keep this going? Luckily, our basic instructions before leaving Earth, or Bible, has the answer once again. Paul in Romans 3 writes to an early church and tells them this, beginning in verse 21. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God, through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. So here we learn God doesn't ask us for perfection. Grace through faith and repentance allow us to maintain a healthy spiritual relationship where we can give our all, whatever that may look like. Newer Christians often may have lots of zeal and enthusiasm, but struggle understanding deeper, complex topics, where older, more seasoned Christians may sometimes begin to plateau or even regress in their walk with God, despite knowing what's best. What's important is, as a church, we edify and encourage one another to build off each other's strengths, to ensure we are all capable of giving it our everything. We gather and remember every first day that Jesus first gave his everything. As Richard put it beautifully, he gave his everything to live sin-free as a man on earth, that the cruel death of a perfect and innocent man, God's own son, would be for us to atone and allow a permanent connection to our Creator. If you are interested in beginning your own walk with God through baptism, or if there's any need the congregation can fulfill for you here today, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.